Well, I don't know. This, you know what's happening this Sunday? We're going to have a resurrection celebration. You know, some people have to work hard to get a raise at work, but you can come to church and get a raise every time. Amen? When you have someone that rose from the dead leading your organization, you get a raise every time. So if you need a raise, come join us on Sunday. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John 15. We've been talking about abiding in the vine. And we're going to start in verse 4. John 15, 4. And he says this, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." And I might just need to be brought down just a little bit of the volume there. And then he said, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast him into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his master, Lord, does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." I want you to say this with me. Say, a lifelong commitment. You know, when the Lord, he asks us to abide in three things in this chapter. You need to abide in the Lord, you need to abide in his word, and you need to abide in love. Amen? And if you can master those three things, everything else will go well for you. All right? We have to abide in the Lord. What does that mean? You have to have a relationship with Jesus. How do you do that? You ask him to be Lord over your life. And you commit your life to following him. But it takes a lifelong commitment. God didn't ask you to enter into a relationship with him one day, or one week, or one month. He didn't even ask you to try it. He didn't say, "Try it in me and see how it goes." No, he said, "Abide in me and I will abide in you." How many want the Lord abiding in them? Well, then you've got to abide in him. You've got to make a lifelong commitment in a relationship with the Lord. You've got to enter into a lasting, lifelong relationship. It's an eternal relationship. This relationship with Jesus transcends time. You know, when they were practicing, they were singing, "I'm going to sing of his love for how long? Forever." How long is forever? Well, that's how, when the Lord invites us into a relationship with him, that's what he's thinking. He's thinking forever. Because when your relationship, when you leave this earth, your relationship doesn't stop. Okay? How many were born into a family, or you were adopted into a family? If you were born, there's only two ways that you can get into a family, right? How many of you plan on still being in that family? Okay? What if you get married? Even though you start another family, you're still part of the one that you left, right? Family reunions, Christmas, Thanksgiving. You know, you get married, the question is, where are we going to spend Thanksgiving? Where are we going to spend Easter? Where are we going to spend Christmas? And sometimes you take turns, don't you? Why? Because when you got born into that family, you did not plan to leave that family, even though life brings changes. When I got married, I gained an extra set of parents. Amen? I had the parents that brought me into this world, but then I have the parents of my beautiful wife. And I call them mom and dad just like I call my own parents my mom and dad, because that's the kind of relationship that we have. You got to be in this thing for life and for life everlasting. You got to be in Christian, you got to be in it for the long haul. Okay? So you got to abide in the Lord. And then you have to abide in His Word. You cannot have a relationship with the Lord apart from His Word. Because they're one and the same. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. And we beheld Him, the Word made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld Him like the Son of God. How many know that Jesus is the Word in an earth suit? Amen? Jesus is the living Word who put on flesh and body, who got into a body so that He could be on this earth, so that He could teach us how we need to follow God. And from the moment you're born and from the moment you leave this earth, you have to make a lifelong commitment to the Lord. Every one of us here, you're in a church. You're here because you're either curious about Jesus or you love Him. And if you're curious about Jesus, we can help you meet Him. Amen? But we've got to abide in His words, His commands, His statutes, and His judgments. Because His words are life. And we must do His words. We have to be doers of His word, not just hearers only. There's too many people in the body of Christ, they hear it, but they don't do it. We got to be doers of the word. Did you know that if all you do is hear the word and don't do it, you deceive yourself? Do you realize that you do what the devil's supposed to do? The devil is the deceiver, right? So when we hear God's word and we don't do it, we're deceiving ourselves, so we're taking over the devil's job. And when you're deceived, you don't know it. Isn't that true? That's what James said. Be hearers of the word, not be doers of the word, not hearers only. For in doing this, you know, it says that you will deceive yourself if you don't do it. And then say these words to me, bring to completion. You know, we know from Philippians that what God started in us, He's faithful to do until when? Until He comes again. So in other words, God commits that the work that He began in you, He's faithful to do. He's faithful to carry out. He's faithful to bring to completion. Until, see, when He comes again, then our bodies are going to be changed, and it's not going to be so much of a struggle anymore. Do you realize that, you know, I said this before, but you are only one third saved. Your body has not been saved. Your mind has not been saved because it has to be renewed every day. Your mind has to be renewed. Your body has to be subdued. The only part of you is the real you is your spirit. That's the part that's been born again. That's the part that's been made a new creature. So there's two-thirds of us that fight against the one-third. And sometimes it makes it a struggle in following God. And we have all these issues. But we have to bring it to completion. Listen, we got to carry out the work that God put us here on this earth for. Because when you get to the end, nothing else is going to matter. If you get to the end of your life and you did not do what God told you to do, I wouldn't want to be you. And then say these words with me, follow through. How many know that we got to follow through? You know, I played baseball. And when you're standing up there to bat, you have got to begin your swing and you've got to follow all the way through. When you're pitching, you know, you can't stop in the middle of your windup, otherwise it is a balk and you give your opponents a free base. You've got to follow through. You've got to complete the motion until it's done. Every one of us has an assignment here. And every one of us have to be on this earth until that assignment is completed. Amen? Amen. And you work at it until it's done. You are in faith until you get the manifestation of what you're believing for. Because once you get what you're believing for, you don't need to have faith for it anymore. All this has to do with abiding in the Lord. He said, abide in me, abide in my word, and abide in my love. We've got to do some abiding. You know, God's love comes to us from the Father, through the Son, and operates in us by the Holy Spirit. So think of it this way. God takes his greatest gift, which is his Son, and it's like we're the bank, and he takes his greatest gift and he deposits it in us. Do you know what the bank does when it gets your money? It loans your money out to others and earns money on the money that it loans out. So God made an investment in us. He shed his love abroad in our hearts. In other words, he stuffed us so full of his love, we're like a Christian cannoli. Anybody ever have a cannoli? A cannoli is like a pastry, and it's folded over, and it's a crispy pastry, and it's got cream from end to end and all the way through. Okay, if you haven't had a cannoli, how many have had a cream-filled donut? Or a stuffed pizza, or a cheese ravioli. Okay, I better quit because you're starting to drool. In other words, God put his love in us so full. There's not one of us that can say, I can't love this person or that person. Because the love of God is in you, and we're already equipped to love anybody. Just as much as Jesus loved us while we were yet sinners. We've got the same love in us. Okay? We've got to abide in God's love. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. If you're finding that when you believe God for something and you're not seeing results, this might be the first place that you need to check. Galatians 5 and verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith that works by what? Did you know that your love affects your faith? And if you got problems with people, you're going to have problems in faith. Faith works by love. When your car says E, what does your car need? Your car works by gas, doesn't it? Try to drive it on E and see how far you get. Okay? And it's awesome that they design cars with a gauge to tell you when you need to fill up. Did you know that each one of us have a gauge on the inside of us, and there are times in life when we need to fill up, amen? Well, you're in the filling station tonight. But your faith operates and works by love. And now there abides three: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? Love. So we better have an understanding of what love is so that we can abide in it. So that we can live in it, so that we can hang out, so that we can remain in it. You know what? Love is not based on how people treat you. They whipped Jesus. They pierced his side. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They beat him. They mocked him. They criticized him. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How could you do that? Can't you see what they did to you? No, I see what love did to me. Jesus abided in love. He's not asking us to do anything that he didn't do himself. Your faith works by love. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And verse 21. How do you know if someone really loves God? Is it the person who raises his hands? Is it the person who cries when the music starts playing? Is it the person that can quote 50,000 scriptures? Verse 21. He that has my commandments or my word and keeps them or does them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Woo! I'll tell you what, I've been in some times when the Lord has manifested himself to me. And you know, he must have a funny bone because a lot of times he makes me laugh when he manifests himself to me. But there are two qualifications to determine whether or not you love him. Number one, you've got to have his commandments. And number two, you've got to keep them. You've got to do them. You've got to practice them. Don't tell me that you love God and you're not doing what he says. And if you're not doing what's written, don't tell me that you're trying to do what he's telling you. Because if you're not doing what's written, he's not going to be speaking to you. We got to abide in his love. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's just start with verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Did he say, be followers of God if you feel like it? Did he say, be followers of God if you want to? He said, be followers of God, and it's not based on our emotions, it's not based on our feelings, it's based on what he's saying. Okay? Be, that's a command. How many has ever had a dog? And you told that dog, how do you direct that dog? Sit, stay, come, right? You try to use simple commands. And if you've got a smart dog, they'll obey those commands. Notice, though, how he wants us to be followers of God and walk in love. Anytime the Bible refers to walk, that's our day-to-day living. All right? Walking is a representation of our day-to-day living. So every day, when you get up tomorrow, you're going to go to bed in love and you're going to get up in love. All right? And you're going to make a choice to love people because God said it. Now, you may not feel like it. You may be around people that annoy you and tick you off, but because God said it, I'm going to put those feelings aside and I'm going to walk in love. As Christ also loved us. Now, he really raised the bar. He's telling us to walk in love like he loves us. You can't do that on your own. You got to do it through him. So when you're abiding in him, he enables you, he equips you to be able to do this. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice. You will find that a person who walks in love makes sacrifices. See, love is a choice and love is an action. For those of you that are married, I'm sure that at one time or another you said to your spouse, I love you, right? And come on, spouses, if all you do is hear those words and you never see it, is it believable? If a person wants to marry, if a guy wants to marry a woman, there's got to be something, right? It's called a ring to show that they're really serious about it. Well, love sacrifices for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Did you know that God is pleased when we walk in love? It pleases God's heart. Why? Because anytime we reflect his nature, God is pleased. He's like, that's my boy. That's my girl. When we walk in love, offering ourselves as a sacrifice, it becomes like a sweet-smelling savor to God. Okay? Let me give you some examples. Noah, it's going to rain. It's going to what? It's going to rain. Okay, whatever that is. I want you to build a boat. Here are the dimensions. Here are the sizes. Okay? How do we know that Noah loved God? The minute he ended his conversation with God, he went to his toolbox. He got out his hammer. He got out his measuring tape. And he began to build this enormous thing called an ark. All right? Abraham, I want you to leave your family. Okay, where am I going to go? Don't worry about where you're going to go. You just go. Okay? So Abraham gets his family packed up, and they said, where are we going? He said, I don't know. You ever been on a vacation? Where are we going? I don't know. Well, how do you know when we're going to get there? I don't know. How do we know that Abraham loved God? Because he obeyed. He did what God said, even if he didn't understand what it all meant. Leave and go nowhere. Okay? He had to take that step of faith, and as he took that step of faith, it was a sweet-smelling savor to God because he made a sacrifice. How many know that when God asks you to leave your comfort zone and you leave your comfort zone, you're making a sacrifice? And if you don't take that step, you're not going to get shown the next step. If Abraham wouldn't have taken that step, he wouldn't have known where he was or where he was going. But when he took that step, God began to speak to him about where he wanted him to go from there. Okay? Give you a New Testament example. Jesus is preaching, and the crowds are pressing on him. And Jesus was like me. He needed some room when he preached. I only preached like this one time, where I didn't move, and that was my very first sermon in lab class. And I don't know what happens, but where does the water go that's in your mouth that was there 2 minutes ago, but when you get up to speak, it's not there anymore? Well, my first sermon in lab class, that's what it was like. My mouth was like a bowl of cotton. Okay? So Jesus uses this boat. And when he's done using the boat, how many know that anytime God wants to use something of yours and you let him use it, he's got a blessing in mind? Okay, so Peter let Jesus use his boat, and he goes to Peter. He said, Peter, why don't you launch out into the deep, cast your nets on this side. And Peter said, what? I've been working all night long, and I've been throwing that net in, pulling it in, and we've caught nothing. But how do we know that he loved God? He didn't feel like it, did he? He said, I've told all night and I've caught nothing, but nevertheless, at your word. What was he doing? He was abiding in God's word. It was not based on his feelings. It was not based on his emotions. It was not based on his experience. It was simply based on what Jesus said. So he did it. And we know it was a sacrifice, because when you do something that you don't feel like you're doing, when you do something that you don't feel like doing it, that's a sacrifice. I don't feel like praising God, but I'm going to do it anyway. Oh, get up there, hands. Well, doesn't the Bible say we can offer a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto God? A sacrifice of praise is praising him when you don't feel like it. Praising him when things are going bad. Praising him when things aren't working out like you think. And you just praise him anyway. That pleases God's heart, because that's a sacrifice, because we're acting on his word. We're abiding in him and we're abiding in his word. Amen. And then he will manifest himself to us. That's what it means to abide in his love. It brings his joy. And when his joy shows up, your joy becomes full. There's something about God's joy that just causes you to overflow. You just cannot contain it. You know, when I feel that joy coming on me, I'm telling you, it is like a Roman candle that's lit in my gut. And I don't know if you've ever seen the fireworks where they go poof. Well, that's how it is. When that laughter gets on me, it's just like it shoots up. Like, you know, and the pressure builds. You can feel it. And then all of a sudden, when it loses, I'll tell you what. Go to John 13. John 13 and 34. See, we've talked about abiding in the Lord, or we've talked about abiding in his word, so we're finishing up tonight about abiding in his love. Boy, I tell you what, there is a richness and a depth to God's love. And when you get in his love, I'm telling you, you forget about what's happening around you. How many has ever been in times of prayer when you've been praying and all of a sudden you look at the clock, it's been like 2 hours. Woo! It felt like 5 minutes, because it was so good. It was so rich. It was so awesome. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give you. Who's issuing this command? Jesus. That you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So how you treat people, it's really how we treat God, isn't it? And if someone wants to see the proof of who you love, It's really how you treat people. That how you treat people shows how you love. You know, if you don't like to be around people, you got a problem in your love walk. The Bible has never created a person to be an island to themselves. Each one of us were designed for fellowship, for companionship, for communion. Amen? And God designed the church to be a community of believers, where people of like precious faith, we can gather together, we can encourage one another, and we can practice on each other. Oh, by the way, did you know that you're my guinea pigs? This is where we practice our love walk, primarily, right? Listen, if you can't love your brother or sister here, but we have to abide in his love. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. There's great, great benefits to abiding in his love. And let's go to verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in what? Love. We ought to be increasing and abounding in love. Okay? And who's behind this? God Himself. Toward one another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. How many want their hearts to be established blameless? Then you got to be people who love one another. You got to be people who release the love that's already in your hearts. And you know what? Sometimes you got to say, I love you by faith. Because you don't feel like it. You may have to say it 100 times before it kicks in. How many know? We're human beings, right? And we don't automatically always want to do the right thing. Now, we may give Adam a hard time, but we would have all done the same thing. Because we've all done the same thing. In other words, we've all done something wrong, knowing it's wrong, and we did it anyway. We knew it was wrong, we knew we weren't supposed to do it, but we did it anyway. But as a follower of Christ, our love should get stronger. Our love should get bigger. Our love should get wider. In other words, we ought to include more people in our love. Amen? I had to correct myself recently. Because I was seeing a certain group of people that represent a certain religion. And these feelings of like hatred were coming on me. And God had to remind me, hey, they're people. Yeah, they might be part of a false religion, but they're people first. And they need to know the truth. And in order for them to hear the truth, they're going to have to experience the love of God. Amen. You know, if you want to develop your witnessing skills to people, start loving them. Amen. We ought to love people and not judge people. There's not one person in this room who's qualified to judge hearts or motives. Now, you can judge fruit, but you can't judge hearts or motives. In other words, you can't tell why someone does something or doesn't do something. Because you don't know, I don't know, we don't know. Only God knows the heart. Only God can judge the motive. Okay? Now, we can judge the fruit, but the fruit is a byproduct. You know, if you don't know your trees, but if you see apples on a tree, you can pretty much bet that that's an apple tree. Right? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Ooh, if there's apples on this tree, this must be an apple tree. I don't know the leaves, I don't know the bark, but I know the fruit. Right? And you can tell when someone is real or genuine. You can look at their life over a period of time and see what kind of fruit is produced. Because when you abide in the Lord, and when you abide in His Word, and when you abide in His love, you will produce fruit. And you will produce much fruit because that's what glorifies God. And God will prune you to keep producing fruit. Amen. Say, God loves fruit. God loves fruit. He does. He really loves fruit. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. What am I doing? I'm building your faith to abide in love. Amen. Faith comes by what? Hearing what? Does faith come by hearing testimonies? Not unless they're speaking the word. Faith doesn't come by hearing testimonies, it comes by the word. Faith doesn't come by feelings. Faith doesn't come by miracles. If faith came by miracles, then everybody in the wilderness would have great faith. But they didn't, did they? They saw miracles, but they didn't have faith because they didn't let the Word of God get into their heart. See, that's the thing. If you really want to abide in this thing, you got to just open your heart and let God's Word have His way. First Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. God wants your heart to be set ablaze with love. He wants you to love people so much that when you walk into the room, you change atmospheres. Do you realize when you walk in this kind of love, you'll make demons crazy? You walk into a place, they'll go, "Ah, I know who you are. Shut up, come out." You know, you don't have to carry on conversations with demons. You just have to tell them what to do and where to go. Right? You know, one time in Illinois, my hometown, I'm going to say bless their darling hearts and stupid heads. I was a young Christian. And I was witnessing these other Christians. Now, they were Christians. They loved the Lord. But they were casting out a devil of this woman for 24 hours, 26 hours. I'm thinking, 26 hours? Yeah, they were working with this woman for 26 hours, trying to cast the devils out of her. Well, now, like I said, I was a young Christian. I didn't know much then, and I don't know a whole lot much more now, but I'm a learner, amen? So what that did was, I didn't criticize the people because I just didn't know. I got into the Word. And I looked up in the Gospels every situation where Jesus encountered a devil, where the disciples encountered a devil. I recorded what they said, what he said, and what the results were. And never did I see in the Word where Jesus or Paul or Peter ever deal with the devil for 26 hours. So all that did was it showed me that what they were doing was not what the Word says. And, you know, like I said, I didn't criticize them for it, but it was a learning experience for me because it turned me to the Word of God. See, when you don't understand something, go to the Word first. Amen? And find out what the Word says and look at more than one example. But I love this verse because it talks about that we have to love one another with a pure heart. In other words, our motive has to be. Well, you know, love doesn't manipulate. Love doesn't say, well, I'll do this if you do that. Or if you do that, then I'll do this. No, that's the work of the devil. The Bible says love edifies. Love builds up. Ephesians tells us to not let any corrupt communication come out of our mouths. Okay? So we have to love each other with a fervent love. Fervent, you know, like when this past winter, and, you know, maybe if you have a wood-burning stove or just a regular furnace, we cranking those furnaces this winter. And it's springtime and we're still cranking the furnaces. What is up with that? Getting snow in April? But see, when you crank the furnace, that's what it means to be fervent. It's a passion, it's a desire. You crank up the heat. Now, did you know that a Christian should be like a thermostat and not a thermometer? See, now some Christians are like a thermometer. In other words, they go up and down based on what the situation is. But to be a thermostat, you set the temperature. And what if you set it at 68, and if it's 65, the heat's going to come on to bring it up to 68. Or if it's 72, the heat's going to stop till it comes down to 68. In other words, as a thermostat, you set the temperature wherever you go. But you got to abide in the Lord, you got to abide in the Word, and you have to abide in His love. You got to remain there. You got to make a lifelong commitment. Love is not something you try. Love is something who you are. It is your nature. Love is the nature of God. God is love. And when we love people, we are demonstrating and putting on display the nature of God. Didn't Peter tell us that we are partakers of his divine nature? If you're a partaker of his divine nature, then you're a partaker, you're a participant of love. You can love even the most unlovable person. You can love the centurions that nailed you to the cross. You can love the Pharisees that criticized you time and time again and tried to just do things to make you trip up. How many know that Jesus loved the Pharisees, even though he called them whitewashed tombstones? Because that love was trying to bring them into the truth, because they were in bondage to self-righteousness. And love needs to take action. So we got to have a fervent love. Say, I'm a fervent lover of people. Say, I love loving people. Say, Lord, give me the worst kind of people across my path and give me an opportunity to love them. Some people are reluctant to say that. Well, come on, you ought to put yourself to the test. If love is abounding and increasing you, then you ought to be able to love more unlovable people. If you wonder how to love them, read 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not puff itself up. Love does not boast in what is wrong. Love boasts when it's right. We ought to do a love checkup. Read 1 Corinthians 13 if you want. Don't go there right now, though. Did you know that God will teach you how to love? If loving is hard for you because people hurt you so much, then let God teach you how to do it the right way. He'll teach you how to love because that's how much he loves you. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Notice what it says, and above all things, above how many things? Have fervent charity or love among yourselves. For what does love do? Love what? Covers. So when you're going around exposing people's faults, you're not operating in love. We've all been guilty of it. But love, it covers. You know when Noah got drunk and he was laying in his tent naked and the one son went in there and violated God's command, the other sons took a covering over their heads and they walked backwards because they didn't want to expose the fault, but they covered their father. See, that's an act of like love covers a multitude of sins. You know, Jesus does not condemn us for our sins, but his word condemns us. But if we want to make amends, he's willing to accept us. He will never turn away anybody who repents. And when we miss the mark, we got to be bold enough and strong enough to say, hey, I missed it, and repent and make it right. See, here's the problem. There are so many things that the devil tries to do to get you to quit abiding in him. He'll tempt you with things on the left and things on the right. But we're supposed to stay on the straight and narrow. We're not supposed to get involved on the right or the left. We're supposed to keep our eyes on Jesus. We're supposed to walk the straight and narrow path. Wide is the road to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to life. And you've got to have a laser focus. You've got to look through a scope versus having a shotgun mentality. You know, it takes more, you have to be more accurate with a scope than with a shotgun. With a shotgun, you can at least get within a foot because it's got a wider spread. But with a bullet, you've got to take more careful aim. You've got to control your breathing so that you can hit the target. And the target that our target is Christ. We got to be conformed to his image and in his likeness. And we've got to be a people that abide in his love. Amen? You know, because really, love is the only measure to truly tell how spiritual a person is. You can only tell how spiritual a person is by the love they walk in, by the love they demonstrate, the love for God and the love for God's people, the love for God's word. And that shows that, you know, spirituality is not, it's not all that other stuff. It's really the love walk. Amen? But you're here tonight on a Wednesday night because you love God. And because you love God, he loves you, and he wants to manifest himself to you. He wants to touch you where you have the greatest need. He wants to help you do what he's called you to do. He wants you to help. He wants to help you be the greatest Christian that you can be, the greatest example of him on the earth. Amen? It's possible. Saul was a murderer until he met God, and then he became Paul the apostle. And it was like his murders never even happened, even though he still suffered consequences of it. So why don't you stand up with me? And because you have a fervent love for people, you want them to have what you have. Amen? And let's just praise the Lord for a moment. And if you're here tonight and you just need a touch from God, you need a manifestation of his love. He wants to manifest his love to you. He wants to heal your body. He wants to save you from destruction. He wants to make amends. You know, maybe you're here tonight and maybe you haven't been walking with the Lord like you should. Well, don't leave without making it right. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So let's just praise the Lord. Father, we praise you. Lord, we honor you, Lord, tonight in the name of Jesus on this Wednesday night. Father, we just declare our love for you. Lord, we are in love with you. Oh, we are so in love with you, Lord Jesus. We love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength. And Lord, we want to do what you say every day. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Because his extravagant love is here tonight. And he wants to touch you. He wants to fill you. He wants to help you. He wants to lift you up. And that just may mean just letting him come up and you letting him just wrap his arms around you. Oh, we love you, Lord. Because you loved us. We love you, Lord. You tell us to love others, and we do, Lord. We love others like you love us, Father. We receive your love. Just tell the Father that you receive his love. Oh, we love you, Lord. Open up your hearts wide. When you receive his love, you get bold. Fear leaves your life, and you're truly free. When you're abiding in the love of God, you're abiding in true freedom. You'll be free indeed. Free indeed. Thank God Almighty. I'm free indeed. Hallelujah. Is extravagant. Now I believe that there are some people here tonight. You're here because the love of God drew you here. The love of God compelled you to come tonight. Because God has something for you tonight. If you need a touch, a manifestation of the love of God, then I want to invite you up here right now in the name of Jesus. You need love to manifest itself to you in Jesus' name, because love is here. Love is here. Is extravagant. Love makes the greatest improvements. I want you just to receive of the love of God tonight in the name of Jesus. You just let the Lord wrap his arms around you and you'd be rooted and grounded in his love. And let his love just cover a multitude of sins. Oh, receive of the love of Jesus. Let that love abound in you and increase. Your Father God, is just wrapping his arms of love around you. Oh, Father, just let her experience the pleasure, Lord, that her faith touches your heart in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this young man. Lord, I thank you for Troy, Father. I thank you, Father, right now, Lord, that your love drew him here and your love is filling him and replenishing him and strengthening him and touching him like nothing else can in the name of Jesus. Father, I just release the love of God in Jesus' name. The Lord just wants you to know that he loves you. He's always loved you. He's never stopped loving you. And he loves you, and he's got great plans for you. So receive of the love of God tonight in the name of Jesus. Receive his restoration. He'll help you get on the right path, the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that your blood just cleanses him, washes him, and renews him, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that he'll be a faithful follower of you who abides in you. He'll abide in your word, and he'll abide in your love, Father.